Masechet Baba Batra Perek He Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah says, Hamocher et hamor machar et haseyach. If somebody sells a donkey, and when they're selling that donkey, they specify that they're selling a donkey that's nursing. We say that included in the sale of the donkey are the baby donkeys that it has, that the mother has. The whole idea here is there's no value to non-kosher milk. It's non-kosher milk of a donkey, and therefore a person can't drink it. The only thing he could do with that not kosher milk is give it to the babies of that hamor. So when the seller mentioned that he had a nursing hamor, a nursing donkey, the implied intention over there was that he was selling it, the nursing mother with the children, hamor of the hamor that go together. But macharat para lo macharat bena. But if somebody sold a cow, and they specified that the cow was a nursing cow, gave off milk, we say that the children of that cow are not included because milk of a cow is kosher. It's drinkable. It's valuable in itself. So therefore, the seller probably meant when he had a nursing cow that the cow was there and that person could produce milk from it and that the calves of that cow were not included in the sale. We would understand from here as well that people don't normally drink donkey milk. Only the other donkeys would drink donkey milk. So therefore, it's not like a person could take that milk and say, oh, I'm planning on reselling it to Goyim or something like that. It seems to be that there was no purpose in donkey milk whatsoever. But machar ashpa, machar zivla. Somebody was selling a manure pile that's a pit that's 3 tefahim, either deep or raised above the ground that was used to store manure. He also sold the manure that was with it. Machar bor, machar memav. If somebody sold a pit, he also sold the waters that were in that pit. Machar kaveret, machar devorim. If he sold a beehive, he also sold the bees that were in it. Machar shovach, machar yonim. If he sold a dovecote, a birdhouse, he also sold the pigeons within it. What we're saying basically here is that the secondary items are considered to be part of the property, according to the opinion that we're listing over here. But Hachamim are going to argue on this and say that when these items are sold, they're similar to the first Mishnah, that the sale of the ship does not include the cargo. This is the minority opinion of the Gemara comments of only to be Natan. Now we'll talk about it. If the seller wants to keep the actual beehive and the actual dovecote where the birds are, but he wants to sell whatever these two items are going to produce. He wants to sell just the bees that are going to be produced in the next year. Or he wants to sell the pigeons that are going to be produced from using this dovecote during the next year. What happens? A person's not allowed to sell davar shelo ba'al ha'olam, something that doesn't exist yet. But in this unique situation, since the production is pretty much set that it's going to happen, you have the beehive, you have the dovecote, and they're going to produce. So because you have that producing property, you're allowed to sell something that doesn't exist yet. Halokeach perot shovach mehavero mafriach berecha rishona. Somebody is selling the production of a dovecote to his friend, which means the pigeons that are going to be born in this next year. He then has to make sure when he's taking his pigeons that are produced, he chases away the first pair of pigeons that are born, so they're going to return to the dovecote and continue to enable this dovecote to make more pigeons with these two birds that are being chased away, and then together with their parents, if they're kept by the seller, then the dovecote is going to continue to produce more and more the following year. The whole idea is that the original two birds in that dovecote will only continue to produce more birds. They'll continue to have lay eggs and produce more doves only if they see that they're benefiting in some way. So if all of the birds that they're producing are being removed, all the doves, then they're not going to really gain anything. So we send them back their first two kids and they're going to continue to create more doves. Similarly, when it comes to the beehive, perot kaveret, if somebody bought the production of the beehive, that means all the bees that are going to be born in that following year. Notel shelosha nehelin umsares. What he does is he takes the first three swarms of newly born bees that come out of the beehive. He can take them And the first three are usually the most concentrated, the most amount of bees that are going to be there. And then after that, he's mesares. He takes every other swarm that comes out, and then he leaves every other swarm for the seller's hive so that the bees are going to continue to survive as well, that they're going to continue to produce. Halot devash maniach shete halot. If he buys the honeycombs of the hive, he can't wipe clean the hive of all the honeycombs, but he has to leave two combs in the hive so that the bees now are going to have something to eat during the winter season and to make sure that the hive is not going to be destroyed. Zetim lakotz maniach shete gerofiyot. If somebody bought branches of an olive tree in order to use them for firewood, he's not allowed to cut down every single branch, but he has to leave behind two branches for the seller of the olive trees. The branches here were sold, not the tree itself. So if he ends up cutting down all of the branches, there's no tree left. So therefore, he has to make sure that the tree has the potential to grow back, so he leaves behind two branches.